Hi, this is Christopher O'Reilly, host of From the Top. Thank you for tuning into this week's podcast. While this podcast is free for all of you, it actually costs our little nonprofit some significant resources to purchase rights for all this fabulous music. Please consider making a small gift to From the Top and keep us broadcasting loud and clear. Go to fromthetop.org and click on Support.
Today you'll meet a teenage cellist who compares his life to Harry Potter's. He lives in two worlds, the everyday humdrum muggle world and the magical musical world full of wizards in youth orchestras and at summer camps. From NPR, it's From the Top, celebrating the power of music in the hands of America's kids. We're at Hobson Concert Hall in the campus of the University of Georgia in Athens, where we'll also hear an outstanding piano trio from Minnesota play the music of Smetana. From the Top's home is New England Conservatory, where outstanding young artists and inspirational teachers are transforming classical music. Here's our host, the great concert pianist, Christopher O'Reilly.
Thank you. Thank you and welcome, everybody. We want to thank our hosts, the University of Georgia Performing Arts Center, for bringing us back to Athens. What a great place this is. A university town with what Rolling Stone calls the number one college music scene in America. And it's been that way for, gosh, decades. But also a town with abundant southern charm and a thriving food scene. And today's show celebrates all those things. Music, well, that goes without saying. The kids on today's show are, as you will hear, phenomenal. Southern charm, we've got a bit of that, especially with the young cellist from Atlanta. He started performing in school plays, and we've got a completely charming clip of him playing Captain Hook when he was in the fifth grade. And we'll even touch on the subject of food with a quiz about junk food passions of classical musicians throughout the ages. But let's start things off with a 17-year-old with a serious passion for the violin from Overland Park, Kansas. Please welcome Maria Udenich. Welcome to the show, Maria. Would you please introduce this showstopper we're going to play together?
We will be playing Scherzo Tarantella by Wieniawski.
And you were telling me that this piece suits your personality. Tell everybody about that.
It's quite an energetic piece, and I like to be energetic sometimes.
Very good. When you're ready, we will take it from the top.
Thank you.
17-year-old violinist from Overland Park, Kansas, just south of Kansas City, playing the Scherzo Tarantelle by Heinrich Wieniawski. Maria, I have to say, we've probably had that piece on the program enough times to do a sing-along, but that was truly extraordinary. It was quite stellar. I so enjoyed your playing of that
Thank
piece.
Thank you very much.
You were talking earlier about how this high-energy piece fits your youthful spirit, but I know you don't do something with this piece that other young violinists might do. We sometimes ask our artists, you know, what story do you associate with this piece of music? But you feel that's improper to associate a story with a piece of music.
Of course, each person has their interpretation and way of performing, but I believe that music is an abstract art, and if you think of a story to go along with it, it puts something literal in something that's not supposed to be literal.
Well, actually, you're in good company. Igor Stravinsky also said music doesn't portray anything. Because he was a little bit more brusque about it, but much more charming. Thinking about music and its meaning is something that you have been doing, as you say, from day one. You have an incredibly musical family. Start talking about your dad and your grandfather.
Of course. Well, you know, my father is a pianist, and my mother's also a pianist. Piano family, actually. Mm-hmm. My grandfather is a violinist, so I think that's where I get my violin, I guess.
And don't be humble. You're a world-class stature. I mean, your father, you can say his name. We're not in the witness protection program here.
Yes, my father's name is Stanislav Hudenich, and in 2001, he actually won the Van Cliburn International Piano Competition.
Yes, great artist. And your family's from Uzbekistan originally, and your grandfather?
Yes, my grandfather is also from Uzbekistan, and he there is thought to be the greatest violinist in Uzbekistan.
Good. Said with authority. And there's another prodigy in your family back in Uzbekistan. Who's that?
Yes, that is, you know, my uncle. And he is 8 years old. So that's quite strange to have an eight-year-old uncle, but...
Well, as I understand it, your grandfather had this boy when he was, you know, he's quite old. And so,
right.
Yeah, so he is literally your eight-year-old uncle.
Literally.
And he plays violin as well?
He plays violin, but mostly he does conducting.
Wow. I think 8 years old is the right emotional age for a conductor.
Perfect.
As much as music has been part of your life from the very beginning, you really only committed to it recently. Last year, yes? A meeting with a teacher, I guess.
Yeah, approximately 2 years ago, I went to a music festival in Salzburg, Austria, and had master classes with Zahar Bronn. And he completely changed my thinking about music, and from then on, I decided to pursue pursue my passion.
So I guess in the Mozarteum, you must have run into lots of great musicians. And so
yes.
This gives you an idea of the world-class artistry that you were clearly born to in your wonderful family. And we had such a great time playing with you. And we wish you all the best.
Thank you so much for having
me. Thank you, Maria. Maria Udenich, 17-year-old violinist from Overland Park, Kansas.
Maria has an unbelievable video clip of her young uncle enthusiastically conducting a full orchestra. He's only 8, people. Check it out at fromthetop.org. From the Top is made possible in part by the Jack Kent Cook Foundation, advancing the education of students of exceptional promise who have financial need. On the web at jkcf.org. Chris.
On stage with me now is an 18-year-old guitarist presently living in New York City. Her name is Bakyung Byun. Bakyung, you go by Bo also, yes?
Yes.
Oh, that's easier for me. And the U.S. is just one of 3 countries you've called home. Where are you originally from?
Well, I'm originally from Korea, South.
Well, we're going to hear about your travels and your unusually independent life in a minute. But first, let's hear your wonderful music making. What have you brought to play for us?
I'll be playing Memories of the Alhambra by Francisco Tárrega.
Thank you. Bok Hyung-byun, 18-year-old guitarist from New York City, performing Recuerdos de la Alhambra by Francisco Carrera. Bok Hyung, I loved that piece. I think the Alhambra is probably one of the only places you haven't lived in the world.
No, but
I found myself being very nostalgic for memories of the Alhambra with its such a characterful performance gave us.
Thank you so much.
A lot of kids on our show live pretty independently, but I must say, young lady, you've brought independence to the extreme. When were you first living on your own?
When I was 11.
And how did that happen?
Well, there was a master class in Seoul, Korea, given by this Chinese professor. And on the spot, he offered me to come to Beijing to study with him. And after having some discussion time, my parents and I decided to go to China by myself.
So it was your idea to just move on your own to China?
Yes, exactly. But the only thing was that I didn't know how to speak Chinese. Yes, and leaving China to study with a Chinese professor and not knowing Chinese, that was really hard for me. But I was really little, and I was able to speak fluently after 3 months.
Oh, great. So until then, probably a lot of body language, I imagine,
lessons. Oh, yes. The first lessons, we only used 3 sentences, just like, do this, get it, okay. Yeah, a lot of body language was involved.
Then you went back to Korea to get your GED, and then what happened?
So after passing the exam, I thought, so what now, right? And I've been always a huge fan of Los Angeles Guitar Quartet, so I emailed one of the members, his name is William Kenningizer, and I sent him my video too, and I asked him if I could study with him, and he actually said yes. Yeah, everyone's so open-minded around me. Yeah.
So again, moving to California on your own.
It was, on my own. It was definitely different. This time I didn't really speak English either, so I had to learn it again. But my teacher was very patient about it too.
Excellent. Yeah. So then you study in California, learn English and Chinese, and then you move again to study with one of the top guitar soloists in America, Sharon Isbin, over at Juilliard. Mm-hmm. And your parents were totally fine with all of your solo moves at your young age? I mean, did their attitude strike you as strange?
Well, I mean, they're open-minded people, and they're very supportive of me. But I have to say, I think they're a little weird. A little. I mean, I wouldn't let my kids go to another country by themselves. But I appreciate what they have done for me.
Yeah, well, you've obviously done extraordinarily well. We shouldn't give the impression that you're estranged from your parents. You and your mom have managed to stay, even with your international life, very close.
Yes, it's because I call her every day, 7 in the morning. And it's been very painful for me to wake up that early. But that's the only way that I could tell her that I'm still fine and we're still family. I'm telling you what's going on in my life. And I still love her. I care about her. Yeah, but she sacrifices a lot for me. And also my dad does, if he's listening to this.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very supportive.
Yeah,
and
I really...
Very trusting parents.
Exactly.
And of course, their trust is well-founded. I mean, you're... play with such confidence and authority and such beauty as well.
Thank you.
Make sure you tell your mom you did so well.
I will.
Talk to her tomorrow morning. Thank you, Bo. Thanks for being with us. Bok Hyung-byun, 18-year-old guitarist from New York City by way of Seoul, Beijing, and L.A. So we've had performers from the Great Plains, one from New York City, and now we're going to meet a 17-year-old pianist from the Midwest. Please welcome, from Madison, Wisconsin, Ariella Borod. Ariella, welcome. You've brought a great standard of the piano repertoire. Tell everyone what it is.
Thank you. I'll be performing Chopin's Andante Spinato and Grand Polonaise.
Thank you. Daniela Bohrad, 17-year-old pianist from Madison, Wisconsin, now studying at the Interlochen Arts Academy in Michigan. Ariella is one of our Jack Kelk Cook Young Artists. Ariella, that may be my favorite piece of Chopin, and you just played it so brilliantly. And
Thank you.
I just loved everything about it, the dreamy opening and the triumphant Polonaise. Just fantastic performance.
Thank you so much.
When we were talking earlier with Bo, the young guitarist who played just before you, about her connection to her mom, you're especially close to your mom as well. She's a musician, yes?
Right. She used to be a harpist, and she performed under Zubin Mehta in the Israeli Philharmonic when she was younger, and now she has her own classical music call and request program on Wisconsin Public Radio, so definitely we share a musical connection.
Very nice. And even as an experienced pro musician, she took a hands-off approach during your very first days with the piano. Tell me about growing
That's
up
right.
and starting the piano with your mom.
I chose to play piano when I was 4 years old, and she really loved that I got to make the decision to want to start. I actually begged her for lessons, and she didn't have to force me or really do anything. And so she had a really hands-off approach in that way. But as I got older, she didn't take a back seat anymore. She was really right there with me, next to me on the piano, coaching me for an hour a day, every day, since I was 4 years old. So she's been my main supporter throughout everything.
Well, in addition to good guidance from your mom, you also are a synesthete. You have
right.
synesthesia, which probably made your study of music a little bit more interesting. Describe that. We sometimes have run across synesthesia is a sort of a genetic conflation of sensual material. So in other words, playing a note on the piano makes you see a color. In your case, is it color or is it taste or smell? I mean, we've had all kinds.
Well, from the beginning, it's always been color, but more recently, it's kind of developed into more taste. But like when I hear a C major chord or something, I immediately think pink, which kind of makes me taste a little bit of bubblegum, and I could keep on going like with the, you know,
well,
down the
list. How about the G major of the
Andante? Yeah, the G major of the opening of the Andante Spianato. I kind of, it reminds me of something purple, so I immediately think grape, and then it's like the melody is just kind of like a liquid, so I think of like a fizzy drink, maybe a grape soda, something delicious, sparkly, just like the opening.
Frédéric Chopin for Fanta.
I love it.
That's good. So I understand, you know, so music keys taste sensations for you, but simply eating food sometimes creates a deep emotional synesthetic reaction for you. Is that true?
Yeah, it's really embarrassing, but it's definitely very true. I had this, you know, this one time, it was last year, I'd never been to a Wendy's fast food chain, and my friends were like, you never been to Wendy's? We got to take you to Wendy's. So I went to a Wendy's, and, you know, they ordered me the standards. You got the fries, you get the Frosty, with the ketchup, you know, it's like a mix. It's a real experience. So the first bite I had of the fry, I actually produced a couple tears. I don't know, it was the first time it ever happened to me, but ever since then, certain foods kind of trigger emotional responses.
Sort of a reverse sort of relation from music to taste, now taste to music.
It's symbiotic, you know, helps each other.
Did the fries remind you of La Boheme or something? Or, you know, Tristan and Isolde? Or
I don't know, I'm still working that out.
Goddard Dameron, what have you. Well, you aren't the first pianist to become overcome emotionally by junk food. I myself have been fairly profound longings for the nearest Burger King on occasion. In fact, famous classical pianists throughout history have had a passion for the junk food of their time. And to prove it, we've cooked up, of course, a little quiz. You have an appetite for that, Ariella?
I sure do.
Okay, great. Joanne?
Okay, let's start with Chopin. When he was about your age, he visited the Polish city of Torun. Of that experience, he wrote, I have seen all the fortifications, the churches of Gothic construction, and the famous town hall. I might tell you more, but only this I will write. The greatest impression was made on me by A, the kielbasa, B, the gingerbread, or C, the French fry ski.
I'm going to have to take a wild guess at this one. A, maybe?
The kielbasa. I would have gone for the kielbasa too, but in fact it was the gingerbread.
Was it really?
It was really the gingerbread.
Oh,
he says,
okay.
He says, oh, that gingerbread, Chopin wrote, and he enclosed a piece of it in that letter back to Warsaw. So FedEx has taken a turn since then, I think.
Definitely has.
And then there was Brahms, legendary for relishing lowbrow food. When touring the markets of Holland, he embarrassed his hostess, Frau Professor Engelmann, by loudly demanding A, deep-fried bite-sized fish called whitebait, B, fake wooden shoes made out of chocolate, or C, ach, gut frieten Fries de France.
It all sounds so appetizing. I don't know how you can choose.
Honestly, I think I've forgotten each one of what she said.
You need them again?
Can I go with... I don't know what C meant, but it sounded important, so I'll just say C.
Well, Brahms did not share your passion and emotion for French fries, but it was actually whitebait, a favorite food of Johannes Brahms when he was a poor boy in Hamburg. He also ate disturbing quantities of herring salad and a coarse beef dish called Rindspilaf.
I don't know about that. Not for me.
Okay, Joanne, hurry up. I'm getting hungry.
Okay. Moving on to the present. The concert pianist Emanuel Ax grew up in communist Poland. His first meal outside the Eastern Bloc made a lifelong impression on him because A, he ate a jelly-filled donut and thought he'd died and gone to heaven. B, he had the life-changing experience of eating a chocolate chip cookie right out of the oven. Or C, he discovered French fries.
They all sound so good. Like, how am I supposed to...
How can you choose?
Jelly donut?
You're going to go with the jelly donut,
It's
huh?
between that or, like, or the cookie.
Go with your... Go. You know.
I would say the French fries, but I'm pretty sure she just put that in there because it's me.
Great artists have great things in common, Ariella.
You know, I think you want me to go with that one, so I'm going to go with that one.
Very good. Go with the French fries.
I'll go with
Always go with the French fries.
Going with the French fries.
Well, here's Manny Ax himself talking about his travel from Poland to the United States.
The plane we were on from Warsaw stopped in Paris, and I had my first French fries ever. That was an amazing thing, and I'm still in love with French fries, of course.
Well,
I think we'll be best friends.
Yes, of course. Of course. You know, Chopin specialist, French fries, okay? Thanks for playing along with us, Ariella.
Thank
and
you so
now
much.
You get going. I know there's a car with a handkerchief waiting to take you to Wendy's, okay? Thanks very much. Ariella Borod, 17 years old from Madison, Wisconsin.
As we say at the top of every show, From the Top celebrates the power of music in the hands of America's kids. But did you know our radio show is just one of the many ways From the Top does that? Learn about our nationwide education and outreach efforts at fromthetop.org.
Support for NPR comes from NPR member stations and from U.S. Trust, believing that the arts have a worth all their own in stimulating the hearts and imaginations of our country's best young musicians. From the Poetry Foundation, publisher of Poetry Magazine, committed to a vigorous presence for poetry in American culture, poetryfoundation.org. And from the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, presenting the MacArthur Award for Creative and Effective Institutions. Winners are at macfound.org. This is NPR.
From NPR, it's From the Top, celebrating the power of music in the hands of America's kids. This week, we're coming to you from Hodgson Concert Hall on the campus of the University of Georgia in Athens. Coming up, teenagers from Minnesota perform the emotional first movement of the piano trio in G minor by Bedrich Smetana. From the Top's home is New England Conservatory, where outstanding young artists and inspirational teachers are transforming classical music. Today's show in Athens is made possible with support from Julia Marlowe with Athens Home Organizer. Special thanks to media sponsor WUGA. Here again is Christopher O'Reilly.
Thanks, Joanne. Okay, now it's time for a Georgia boy. From nearby Atlanta, please welcome 19-year-old cellist Wycliffe Simmons. Wick, welcome. You've brought Maurice Ravel's Kaddish to play for us to play together. First of all, tell everyone what a Kaddish is.
Well, a Kaddish or a Kaddish in Hebrew is a prayer, and the most famous one being the Mourner's Kaddish, and it is said as a prayer for the dead.
And as we all know, the cello is probably the closest instrument to the human voice. So this is a piece originally written to be sung. This was
yes.
Your idea. And I understand it's a beautiful, poignant piece. Sounds great on the cello. But just as poignant is your history with it. Please share that with us.
Well, a good friend of mine and I put together a memorial benefit concert back in January. And it was for the victims and families of the Sandy Hook Elementary School shooting.
And I understand you took up a collection at that benefit.
Yes. The donations that we collected will be donated to a nonprofit organization that is providing emergency therapy sessions for the kids that survived and for the parents.
Well, thank you so much for your service. It would be hard to find a more appropriate piece. Let's play it together. Wycliffe Simmons, 19 years old, a cellist from nearby Atlanta, Georgia. Just incredibly moving there, Wick. And what a wonderful idea and what a wonderful gesture you made.
Thank you.
And we all share your concern and the depth of your feeling. And thank you for bringing that beautiful piece to us. So, Wick, here's something you and about 5 billion other teenagers love.
The wand chooses the wizard, Mr. Potter. It's not always clear why. But I think it is clear that we can expect great things from you.
Harry Potter choosing his wand. But for you, the world of Harry Potter really resonates with your experience as a teenage classical musician.
Well, for me, I think there's the normal everyday world, and then there's the music world that you go to every summer. Like, you go to a festival somewhere, and you meet all these amazing people. You play great music. You work with great teachers. It just kind of feels like its own self-contained universe. Right. And, I mean, choosing your instrument's kind of like choosing a wand.
There you go. That's true.
That's what I think.
So it's sort of Meadowmount as Hogwarts, but with any horrible, you know, one who cannot be named, is there anyone like that at Meadowmount, would you say? All right, we'll leave that be. As far as choosing instruments go, it wasn't the cello that first inspired you. At the age of 3, you were listening to this. Well, that's from Madame Butterfly, and that's pretty heavy stuff for a 3-year-old. Paint the scene for us.
Well, every morning when I was little, my parents would put on opera while I was eating my breakfast in my high chair. And I would scream and shriek along with it, hands waving, pancakes flying everywhere. I mean, it was a great scene.
Great, more synesthesia between pancakes and Madame Butterfly.
Yeah,
it's obviously a deep connection.
There's a trend.
So loving opera as you did and screaming in your high chair during Madame Butterfly, it wasn't too much of a leap to this.
At last I have you in my power. Helpless you by now, now your days are numbered. And when you drink my little potion...
What conviction? You sound great. How old were you when that was recorded? And what exactly are we hearing there?
Well, I was 11 years old, and that was my first big acting role as Captain Hook in our production of Peter Pan in 5th grade.
In my power at last. There
yes.
You are. So, understanding that your first experiences performing were in theater, did you find you had to give that up for the cello, or did you keep going?
Well, it came to a point where I just couldn't, if I was going to be serious about music, I would have to start just dwindling down. Like, I still love it, but I just had to put it aside for a little bit.
And singing through your cello, I think, is more dignified, perhaps.
Yes.
Okay. Hard to play the cello with a hook, too. And my gosh, the Ravel was just breathtaking. Thank you, Wick.
Thank you very much.
Wycliffe Simmons, 19 years old, our cellist from Atlanta, Georgia.
Podcasts of From the Top are available every week at fromthetop.org. Over the last 5 years, From the Top and the Jack Kent Cook Foundation have awarded well over $1 million in scholarships to talented young musicians who have financial need. We still have more to give. Go to fromthetop.org to learn more. Chris.
And now let's hear a wonderful piano trio from Minneapolis. The Hartman Warren Doyle Trio is made up of, you guessed it, Derek Hartman, 15-year-old pianist, our violinist, Luther Warren, 17 years old, and 16-year-old cellist, Nora Doyle. Their coach is Tom Rosenberg. Welcome. Before we talk about the piece you're going to play, Luther, may I say, nice threads.
Thank you.
And we've been reading about you, and just describe, you first of all, your hair is spectacular. Is that bedhead, or what is that you've got?
No, this is actually Brill Cream, a hair product. Right.
How did you come to Brill Cream? I mean, isn't that an old product?
It is an old product. You know, I tried some of the modern hair products, and I decided I just didn't like the way they looked. So I researched and found out that Brill Cream is still sold in drugstores, and there we go.
And a gorgeous double-breasted suit. May I comment also, very outre sort of pairing of brown shoes with the black suit, but you carry it off spectacularly well.
Thank you.
Where does this suit come from, double-breasted?
The suit is a vintage suit. It was made between 1931 and 34, according to the union tag.
My gosh. Well, you others are no slouch. You're looking quite spectacular as well. Nora, tell everyone what you're going to perform.
We're going to play the first movement of the Smetana Piano Trio in G minor.
Smetana wrote this just after the death of his daughter, so we have a real memorial tone to this. Now, you've all had some struggles with the tone of this piece. Derek, can you talk about that?
Yes. In the tone, there's a lot of changes, transitions between different moods that kind of represent this mourning over the loss of his daughter. It'll go from this completely forlorn feeling of sadness, the main theme that Luther plays on the violin, and then it'll go to this complete joyful, in-your-face, happy theme that we're all playing, you know, double forte. And so the transitions between those can be quite a challenge.
Luther, you weren't exactly impressed with the piece on first hearing. What was your feeling about it?
Right. You know, when I first started working on the piece as a group, I can't say I liked it too much. I thought it seemed really episodic, the way it was written. There wasn't a whole lot of continuity between the different sections.
And Nora, how did you chalk that up?
Well, you know, at first we weren't playing it in a way that, you know, made it sound good, so I thought that was just why he had that impression at first.
So Nora cracks the whip and it all comes together and becomes less episodic. I find it a quite a virtuoso piece. It's really like a concerto for all three of you rather than the sort of the homogenized, you know, sort of supportive thing. It's a brilliant, brilliant piece. Well, let's hear this. While you all get set, I want to thank all of our great young performers and thank you all for listening. This is Christopher O'Reilly. Please join me next week. Again, we are going to hear the first movement of the Piano Trio in G minor by Bedrich Smetana. And now, Hartman, Warren, Doyle Trio, you can take it from the top.
From the Top is written and produced by Tom Vagley and Tim Banker, with music producer Tom Vinieri. The tour producer is David Balsam, and the production manager is Elizabeth DeVore. Technical direction by Barrett Ouellette, with David Forbes and Chris Rando. Broadcast mix by Claus Nystrom. The executive producers are Gerald Slavitt and Jennifer Hurley-Wales. I'm Joanne Robinson. From the Top is an independent nonprofit organization based in Boston. Our founding partners are New England Conservatory and WGBH Boston.
Support for NPR comes from NPR member stations and from the William T. Grant Foundation, supporting research to improve the lives of young people. Online at wtgrantfoundation.org. From the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, dedicated to the idea that all people deserve the chance to live healthy, productive lives, at gatesfoundation.org. And from the William and Flora Hewlett Foundation, making grants to solve social and environmental problems at home and around the world, on the web at hewlett.org. This is NPR.
Thanks for downloading this week's From the Top podcast. If you liked what you heard, head over to our website, fromthetop.org, where you can listen to every show in its entirety. I'm Christopher O'Reilly. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you again next week.